listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datster, right here on LA Talk Radio.
We're going to get you all on today.
Hey.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hey, guys. How's the world out there?
It's a June show.
Yes, it is.
We made it to June.
And you do realize in 10 days it's my birthday.
We're going to have to throw you a birthday.
Well, we are having a birthday party. You were invited to it. You haven't said yes to it yet on Facebook.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
It's going to be...
I've been in surgery.
It's going to be right after our show on the 9th. Oh. It's a place called Pour Vu, which is in Hollywood. It's a place, a burlesque club in Hollywood.
Ooh.
So it starts, nice. We're all getting there at 10 o'clock.
I'm getting excited with this photo here. I don't know about Pour Vu.
Anyway. Well, you're going to love that. You're going to love all the naked women.
Oh, Cameron's going to really love that.
I'm coming for that. Anyway, we welcome you all, and we wanted to say there's a lot going on in the news.
Yes.
We'll shout it out. U.S. can fulfill climate pledges, says Michael Bloomberg. The ex-New York mayor says this could be done through deals with U.S. cities, states, and business. And guess who's going to reap a lot? California. Ooh. California's going to get a lot of climate stuff, greenhouse emission. California.
Well, part of the reason we had a big drought was just all over this So
yeah.
we gotta figure that out and
yeah.
make it work.
Jerry Brown.
Jerry Brown.
Yeah. Jerry Brown's been around. Okay, one other thing. The Kathy Griffin story. Unbelievable. And the Trumps are found out today. I'll give you an insight. He's licensed to sell real estate in New York. When you tell someone, you threaten someone, his license is over.
Oh, wow.
So he may face, my buddy in New York said, when that comes out, when they release it, they're going to get his license and the president's license. So then we'll be able to practice.
Well, you know, the thing is I was kind of offended by what she did. It was sort of like, it's great. Make fun of the president. Make fun of all of them. I don't care. But that was just sort of a little, that was too much for me. And I'm a gay man who loves Kathy Griffin. And I looked at it and went, you know, sweetheart, I love you, but no, that was just, she went too far. Like,
well,
she was wrong in that. I mean,
and we forgive.
Yeah, I can, but I mean, it was just really was offensive. It actually, it bothered me because of I have 2-year-old nephews, and they saw it, and they were like, they were really upset by it, and it's on the regular news, and that was really upsetting, you know?
Wow.
And they show it again and again and again on CNN. And again, you know, and the thing is, with the Trump family, I wrote Donald Trump Jr. a letter. Oh. I said, under no uncertain terms, you should leave her alone.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how important is your license to practice real estate? That's it.
Yes.
I got a phone call from all my people back east.
Uh-huh.
So the way it affect them is, you know, for the way he acted, you don't have people calling, threaten to kill her and all that. And we've known it's from his colleagues. If we find out more, the president and him are going to have a lot of hard stuff going on. And that's the thing. This is a horrible story to cover, but you don't egg it on and then threaten her that you're going to kill her. Mm-hmm. So that's what I heard.
Well, you know that she actually broke the law, federal law. You cannot actually threaten the president's life while he's in office. That's a federal offense. So she could actually go to jail for this. I mean, I know it's a joke, but she can go to jail and get real prison time.
Yeah.
I think it's up to 15 years
in
federal penitentiary. And I'm not sure if that's true or not, but I found it offensive because it was gross, mm-hmm. and I don't like to watch that stuff, but she can put herself in, she can go to jail for this.
She has a lot of club dates coming up, too.
They're all canceled. She's getting everything. Everyone's canceling her. Nobody wants to go see her. People are asking for their money back for her shows. She's losing about half her audience.
Yeah.
So her career
may
have
just
gone under.
Like I say, we're a forgiving country.
I know what not to do.
We're a forgiving country. And you know what? Look at Bill Cosby. And he can't see the woman. He can't see this. Can't see that. I have a friend who's a reporter for BET. She went up to him to see if he's really blind. She put his hand out to him. He caught her hand. He's not blind.
No, he's not.
He's not blind. So be it. So that look at, and that's coming up, the Bill Cosby case, Monday. It's coming up. Okay. And it's going to be, and look what he did. He just gave him drugs and alcohol and got him whatever. And that's wrong, too. Anyway, we got some horrible news. Triple child killer volunteered at school. Carla Komelka, she played a role in the rape and murder of three young girls this past week, including her own sister.
Oh.
So they're what they're doing now is they're trying to, find out what the hell happened. And it's a weird story because you don't hear about a gal that's volunteering and doing this type of crazy stuff. All right. Anyway, I got some news on Ariana Grande. She's going to visit fans hurt in the arena attack. Mm-hmm. She's going to do a free concert.
Well,
and the money's going for the people.
People for Manchester. You know, that poor girl is really suffering. A friend of a friend of mine who actually is friends with her,
Ariana Grande,
has been telling me that she is heartbroken and so disturbed by this. She's been going through therapy, trying to get over what happened in her during her show. I mean, this is something that damaged her emotionally, and she's having problems. She's doing this is what she's doing to heal herself. That's why she's giving away her performance.
And by the way, they raised so far over $4 million.
Wow,
that's wonderful.
Nice.
Which is going to go to the people of Manchester. And then we got some other news. Ireland set to have the first gay prime minister.
Well, my goodness, that devout Catholic company. You're talking about the Republic of Ireland.
Republic of Ireland. Let me tell you his
name.
We're going to give his name.
Go for it.
Ireland set to have its first gay prime minister. Fine Gael chooses. His name is Leo Varoufakis.
Let me see.
And he's Indian and Irish. He's going to be the first gay prime minister, which
he's
is phenomenal.
In East Indian and Irish.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, you know, I've got the red hair now.
I know. That's the
barrier.
Are you
Irish? Maybe I should go to Ireland. Because I actually have some amazing friends in Ireland, and I have a castle I get to stay at when I'm there.
So you got to do
I'm not joking. I have a close friend, and she has family has a castle there. I get to stay at the castle. It is cold. It's damp. It's leaky. But it's a real castle. It's 500 years old.
Well, you know what's interesting?
Me and Cameron are gonna pack
was
our bags with
when
you.
He ran, when this gentleman ran, which is great news. What he wants to do is he wants to reform all for education in Ireland, and he wants to bring parents back, programs to educate. So I like what he wants to do, and he'll be elected. So that's good news. That's good news. And on the political front in the United States, it's been crazy war with Russia and Trump. And now what we find out is that Vladimir Putin said he sent patriots to do the work. So what's the story here? He did the work. He screwed up the election. So now it's getting better and better, as the Beatles would say. So that's we'll find out by next week what's going to happen. It'll be really interesting.
You know, I have a little notation on that.
Yeah.
One of my contacts in the interesting world of people was telling me that our own security, our own forces who do, like the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, they have, we're not innocent in this. During more than one election we're going back, back to Teddy Roosevelt, we have influenced other elections across this entire planet for 100 years at this point.
That's true.
And I got to say that so another country influenced, if they did or didn't, I don't have proof. But the thing is, all right, but maybe turnaround is fair play at this point because we've gotten into too many other people's business too.
Well, what's interesting about what's going on is that the U.S. now is playing, I know the Democrats are really going into this issue, the independents. And the thing is, with Trump, you don't get an answer. It's like global warming. Mm-hmm. You don't get an answer. he doesn't know anything about it. So if you don't know anything about it, don't stop it.
Yes.
And I can tell you, living in Porter Ranch area, if we didn't have protections by the law, people are dying up there from the gas leak.
Yeah.
And if we didn't have the Southern California Gas, I noticed lately, is going to each home and telling us, because they're getting sued in a major lawsuit, $960 million lawsuit.
No, they need to go get even more because people have their houses, their people have died. That is one of the worst disasters we've had in California since the earthquake in San Francisco. How many years ago was that back in San Francisco? Right. Or the one we had in Northridge. I mean, this is a huge disaster, and it was man-made, and it was caused by our own a super company here in this country.
Because you know what it is? What I found with the gas company, they have no feeling. They don't even care.
Oh, no, they're horrible people.
They don't care. You know what? We went to a meeting, and the guy goes, "Oh, you're one of them." I go, "What's one of them? What's one of them?" And you just go there, and you know, because you got to fill out claims, and you have to talk with them. They have bouncer guys come over to you after that. So they're a real great company.
Oh, no.
Southern California Gas.
They're evil.
They bring a bouncer into a room where people are suffering. First of all, it's stupid, and a lady recorded it and sent it to Senator Feinstein, and there's a lot of stuff going on with that.
Wow.
Yeah, they had bouncers telling us, you better not ask questions.
You know, I had a friend of mine who owned them, $75 or $74 and change,
right?
And they turned their gas off in their house in the middle of winter.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's Southern
California? Because they're that. And these people were paying or trying to pay like $5 here.
Yeah,
they've lost their job.
You should be making a payment.
And they were just not good people. They're just not. They don't care. They're an evil empire.
It's become that. Yeah. Now we're going to get our first guest. I will call him because I know that he's in Texas. He's in Austin. So we'll get him on. And then we'll be moving. This is going to be a great show tonight because we have everyone that has been part of the UFO experience.
Well, yeah. Well,
and this guy has a big story because the government has tried to stop him to talk. Well, and then we'll talk about your play. We'll talk about Candy. We'll talk about
everything.
John Michael. We've got it all tonight. That's it. Okay, let me call him.
Well, you're calling him. I'll talk about what we were at a couple of weeks ago when we were in Yucca Valley. We were at Joshua Tree. We went to Contact in the Desert. We had a great time. Now, we have things to complain about. There were some really great people. There were some really great shows. And I will tell you, I'm slowly lining up all the amazing people that I've got a list of that we have that wrote books.
Wow.
Like one of the gentlemen from Contact in the Desert is calling us tonight. And super interesting man. He actually talks about how there's these gods and goddesses over over the thousands of years that we've always had from different parts of the world that are blue. And how there is an alien race that is blue and how they have affected us over the years. And I find his name is Reverend John Polk, and I find what he says very,
very interesting.
You did
contact him.
Yeah, I know. Remember that horrible breakfast? I was drinking coffee because I wouldn't eat the food there.
He wrote me. It was really funny. He wrote me a letter to get him on the show.
Well, and I called him.
Isn't that funny? Now we're gonna dial into Florida.
We're gonna try
to get everyone in. So this is going to be Mr. Ben Davis Jr.
Ben? Oh, like Sammy Davis Jr.
Hi, this is Ben.
Hey,
this
Ben.
Is Cameron. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Oh, pretty good. We're going to talk about your wonderful book out. And now Ben Davis Jr. is from Florida, was born in Madison, Florida. And in 1955... to a politically known family in northern Florida and in the rural counties. And Ben was the only son of a U.S. Navy frogman, a World War II era, and he's from Tallahassee. So you know Florida, Tallahassee.
Oh, yeah, I know Florida
well. How's the weather in Florida right now? Is it hot?
Actually, we got some rain for the first time since March 8th.
All right, you got the California rain.
Oh, thank God. It's out of here now.
Yeah, it's out of here now. It's in Florida. And then,
well, it's something I wrote about in my first book, Incident at Fort Polk, about the weather modification program the Air Force released called White Carpet. It involves chemtrails. Yeah, it's so deep, you know, on speculation that everybody seemed to think doesn't exist. I mean, you can always look up and see, what are those little streaks coming out behind an airplane, you know?
We've got that massive array up there in Alaska that affects all our weather.
Yeah, well, they have.
You know, they say that this year that Florida's going to have the worst hurricane season in the last 50 years is going to be this year.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the worst hurricane on record, unpublicized and kept secret, was... Hurricane Andrew on August 24th of 92. Yeah. And my father was still alive at the time, and he told me, he said, "Son, if you see a cat three or four, you don't run. You run like hell.
You run like hell. That's true. You run like hell." Anyway, I wanted to get more into his bio because of the time. Now, you were diagnosed with being afflicted with leg. Is it Perthes? Is that the bone?
Lega, L-E-G-G-E dash Perthes disease disorder, bone disorder.
Now, tell us
about
that.
It's where the it's kind of like Forrest Gump had to wear those braces, but only had to do it on one leg.
Right.
And it was difficult for me because everybody thought I had polio or, you know, I was a loner. I was self-educated by my mother, homeschooled, I guess you may call it, by tutors and, you know, the Encyclopedia Britannica, 26 volumes, National Geographic my whole life. You know, I've researched since I was about 7 years old.
Wow. That's interesting. Now tell us. Now, they said you were cured from this, and then you became athletic. You were in track and field.
Right.
And you became a player on the varsity football team, which in Florida is a big
thing.
Because in Florida, you got some good athletes.
Football.
Yeah. Back in my day, Class 4A was the biggest. It was like 2,500 students, and now they got like Class 6A and whatevers. But I played for the legendary coach Gene Cox. He he holds the record for the most wins in a career. It was 313 to be exact.
Okay,
I forgot how many championships and all that, but most of the great players in our era by the Chicago Tribune, I think it was, about 1981, they had an article of the best high school in the country was ranked number one, was Tallahassee Leon.
That's phenomenal.
For the most players that went to the NFL at that time and era.
Because you got to remember, the NFL in those days had certain states. They would draw the kids from and that went to certain colleges, like Alabama, Florida, Florida State.
Oh, yeah, all those all Southern colleges. Yeah. That's football country.
They love
football. And Christians.
Oh, yes.
Christian football and Chevrolet.
And Mama.
And we had the great NFL pro bowler and Hall of Famer, Big Larry Brown with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Iron Wall. He was in our first, I guess, playoff game, Jacksonville Reigns against Tallahassee Leon at Doak Campbell Stadium. It was the most, I think it was like, there was 42,000 seat stadium at the time before they rebuilt it. There was 39,000 people. It's still a record. With every scout from every major college at the time was there to look at 16 blue chippers on our team and the other team. And they were the biggest team in the country. They would average 245 pounds a man. Of course, Big Larry Brown was 6'8", 320 pounds.
Right.
He ran over me on the opening kickoff, and the coach sat me down for the first half. And we were down 21-0, first quarter, and we came storming all the way back, and we beat the crap out of 62-21.
Wow.
And they never scored another point. Yeah.
You guys had tenacity, that word we don't hear a lot these days. You know, when you're playing football, and I was a wrestler, and I remember tenacity. Anyway, tell us, now you went to Vietnam. He served in Vietnam. So you came.
Well, I was in college. I was sick of school by the time I got out of high school.
Right.
And I didn't care about the straight A thing. My parents were all state workers and you know, trying to keep the bills paid and all that stuff. But when I quit the Tallahassee Community College and I got a letter from the Selective Service Act saying that my draft number was 4.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely going up 4.
1A, yeah. So I talked to a brother-in-law whose brother went to NAM, and he told me, you need to go to see your recruiter and just volunteer. And the world was winding down, but it wasn't official yet. You know, Nixon was in a lot of trouble and Watergate stuff. So they tested me, and the recruiter called me up and said, Mr. Davis, can you come down here? I said, sure. And he got down there. He showed me the results out of the 4 categories that I took the test on. I hit 100 on 3 of them. 95 on the other. And so they sent me out for the physical, they failed me like a dumbass. You know, I wanted to do something because the economy hit the oil embargo. No jobs anywhere.
Right.
I didn't know what I wanted to do. Yeah, I didn't.
When Nixon came in, also when he resigned from Watergate, and you know they were going to impeach him at that point, the country was going through a horrible time. You know, a dollar was worth nothing because we were traveling in Europe. And so I understand.
I mean,
I was in Europe. They wouldn't take my money.
I pumped gasoline at 19 cents a gallon. When it went up to 45 cents, it was like, God, I got to pay $7 for a tank of fuel. Back then, that 18-gallon tank. And I had a truck that only got 4.5 miles a gallon. That was a big old pumper.
Oh, God. I was going to say, that's a... But anyway, I wanted to get more into your life. So you, after you got involved with the Army... You got involved with the top secret projects that were going on, and you wrote a book about It's All About Time. Which is, yeah. By the way, I got a copy.
I'm really dying to hear about this book.
It's a very interesting book, and it was published on June 5th, 2016. He's got another book out you can get on Amazon and all the others, right? Amazon has your new book.
Right.
All right. So
Barnes & Noble, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let me
I have The Pink Mile, which is the second one. It talks about the drug industry and how bad it really is. And then my new book, T.I. versus A.I., Targeted Individual versus Artificial Intelligence. I disclose, let's say, a dozen patents that spell out the technology that's, atom size, that's in your body right now. As I'm talking to you, everybody across the planet in the heavily populated areas, and has been doing that since 1998. And it is actually a remote wireless nanotechnology that's attached to your cerebral cortex that can read your thoughts and send and receive radio frequencies on the microwave scale. In fact, I was hit with a DEW, which is a directed energy weapon, last Saturday while I was doing a rental home, and I forgot to wear my Organite necklace, and they took advantage of it. My heart rate was 205 beats a minute for 18 minutes solid.
Wow.
Hear the crap, wow. I'm a renter, yeah. They wanted to call 911. I said, don't you dare, I'll kill you and cover it up.
That's what they do.
The hospital will kill you. They'll treat you like a kid. They don't know what's wrong. They'll throw
the hospital don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, they do.
I had a recent experience. I can tell you.
I had that before, too.
Yeah, they're horrible.
I was under the Benadryl,
and they put you in, you're lost. Anyway, now tell us about, you met with ETs, and this is kind of interesting because this guy met with ETs.
Yeah.
So tell us the experience, let's hear about this.
Yeah, why did they choose you? You particularly, what do you think?
Well, it goes back to the test. I'm highly intelligent. My IQ is above... genius, which is 140. I won't disclose exactly that, but I know what it is. And to me, all I had to do was go back to my doctor, who happened to be the chairman of the board of directors or president of the AMA or whatever, and the homeopathic PhD. He was working on his second PhD as I was proofreading his thesis. He asked me, well, did you just have a leg brace on? I said, yeah. He asked my mom all these questions. You know, did you have colic? Did I have too many teeth? Did I have ulcers in my mouth? Was he allergic to milk? And he reached into Dr. Welby's bag and handed me a bottle of pills and said, you give your son four of these four times a day and he'll be cured in 3 months. Well, after 5.5 years, man, nothing worked. I mean, the snake people, hit you on the forehead people. I mean, you know, to hell with all them people. There is no real religion that believes anything. It's just all in your mind, they say. Even the healers today online or it's all within, you know. That's BS. It's being blocked by the pharmaceutical companies, the healthcare industries, and everything else that prevents you from ascending, if you want to call it that, or becoming better, a better human, naturally, you know.
Well, let me ask you
a question. They presented a paper, and the AMA refused to publish it.
Interesting.
And to this day, coral calcium is illegal to have, possess, or bring into the country.
Well, let me ask you a question. You went through a whole horrible trial and going through that. Now, have they tried to stop you, the government or the military?
They try to stop me every single day.
Yeah, that's what goes through.
I got used to it, and you know, it's really upstairs in your brain. The smarter the individual is, and I'll write, it's written in the book, how a targeted individual in the 9 podcasts that I was given permission to by the professor that had mind control recovery, when he signed up to design and write code for the program, it turned on him. In other words, he quit, because that's not what he signed up for, was to hurt people. So let me give you a 2-minute description of what the program is. Explain. Okay? It says, now, I'm going to talk about the program that many targets are put through. I'm talking about something very specific. Not all targets go through this, but the tools used in this program are used against virtually all targets. So what is it? It's a program. It's a highly deceptive, multi-year program. I call it deceptive because it often looks like something completely different. It might look like you've deeply offended someone who sends an entire social network at you, but that's not what it is. It might look like you're a victim of an extremely vicious and secret smear campaign, but that's not it. Maybe you think the police are sending people after you, or you think maybe criminal gangs are harassing you, or maybe you think it's a Soviet-like secret police messing with your life. Maybe you've read about COINTELPRO, and that seems kind of like what it is. What I'm talking about looks like these things. They might even incorporate elements of some of these things, but it isn't any of these things. It's something that can be disguised as any of these things, but something different. It's something pretty new. Now, I don't want to downplay the claims of stalking at the hands of several people. Stalking by groups of people is something that happens. You'll hear about this sometimes. A man might take turns with his buddies harassing an ex-girlfriend. That's a thing. It happens. But what I'm talking about is something qualitatively different. It's not stalking. It's something else. What this is, in essence, is virtually an untraceable takedown program. It's very hard to fight, partly because the program looks a lot like mental illness, and partly because you're being harassed in ways that you don't want to disclose to other people. It's made very embarrassing on purpose. There are several possible entry points and several possible outcomes. Since it's highly psychological, how things turn out dependently partly on any inclinations of the subject. There also what I'm about to describe doesn't explain everything. There's other secret programs with people on the receiving end of this program that are very likely to get caught up in. And to make things more complicated, once someone gets taken down with this program, he might get enrolled in those other programs. Things like weapons testing or medical experience. If the target has been painted as a crazy, the authority can get away with a lot. And sometimes the program drives people to try to kill the people they perceive to be attacking them. I don't condone this, but I understand what's going through a subject's mind when he acts out this way. The whole process is threatening. It's infuriating or humiliating or a combination of the three. And that's basically what the program is. And you see it every day on the news. And what they're doing is this artificial intelligence is a supercomputer run by the CIA, NSA, powers to be, whatever you want to call it. They are attacking humans on all angles. You got the racism, you got migration, you got anti-Trump, you got anti-this. You have all these false fake news shooters and so on and so forth. Especially down here in Florida, we had the Pulse Club shooter. I wrote about in my first book, Incident at Fort Polk, before it happened. A week before it happened, I published it.
I lost three friends who were at that bar. People that I worked with on the first TV show I ever worked with, and it was very sad. Four people were shot, 4 friends of mine, and 1 survived. Wow. So that was pretty horrible.
And what's part of this, what he's saying is, it's artificial intelligence.
But is that part of the conspiracy? Part of the Illuminati? People? It's all part of those are the people. Like those are the people who don't want Trump or don't want this person. They want Clinton in the office, but they want so and so to run this, and they want this to go this way. They want these people this way. The same people go to The Grove up in Northern California. The I just can't think of anything. The Grove up in Northern California.
Well, they have a commune.
Yeah,
they have a commune up in.
It's
not
a commune. It's a place where they have.
Where the guy,
events.
The teacher took the girl. It was on yesterday, 2020. The guy intentionally took the girl, gave her drugs so she would be under his control. He kidnapped her. It was on 2020.
But, yeah,
night.
But what I'm talking about is that it's not Harmonious Grove or it's whatever. It's that place where all the rich and famous, the men right. meet. And they pray to that huge statue of an owl.
Are you talking about the one in Switzerland?
No, the one Davos? Here in Northern California. It's just outside of. It's, I actually
we'll go
went
there.
To, no, I've actually been there once. Not right. I went to the. I drove outside of it. There's a friend of mine who said, "You want to go to, blah blah blah." We went to. So that's where right. the all these people go to. He has photographs of all these limos that drive up there once a year.
Unbelievable. Now tell us about your
book. Bohemian Grove. Bohemian Grove.
Bohemian Grove. I've heard of that. Now tell us in time. We're going to have you back. Ben's going to come on our show every month.
Good.
And he's going to talk about all different issues that we don't know about and what he's experienced. And this way, you'll be part of my show and that you'll give us updates of what you've seen, what's going on. Out cool. there with artificial
well, intelligence. We have, let me give you an example here for a minute. Give me about 10 minutes and I'll explain what I can. Some of these patents, for example, are a system for producing artificial telepathy. Uh-huh. Another one is the machine interface device, which connects their own atom scale. The entire network is in your bloodstream, which connects and can do all this stuff. And then you have insertion of medical devices through non-orthogonal and orthogonal trajectories within the cranium and the methods of such. And then you have nanotechnology, neural network methods and systems. Then you have system and method for developing artificial right. intelligence inside of you. And then here's a really good one. You're going to love this. It's telephony. Then you have the cerebral yeah. programming. And then you have thought transmission units, mm-hmm. modulated electromagnetic wave beams to human receiver to influence thoughts and actions without electronic receiver. Those are those little skirmishes you see with a shooter or a group of people and so on. Method and apparatus for monitoring and counteracting excess brain electrical energy to prevent, your mind from doing the wrong thing.
Right. Let me ask you a question.
What they call the right thing.
Let me ask you a question because we're going to get another interview in. But what I want to say is, Ben, your book is phenomenal. We're going to get it on. You know, I'll get a copy from John Michael.
Give me a copy so I can
read it. I'll get him a copy. And we're going to have you on once a month. You'll tell us what's
more.
The latest stuff that's going on in artificial intelligence. That's a whole different arena. It's very important for us to learn. Anyway, thank you so much.
Here.
And we'll get you back.
Okay.
We'll talk to you soon, Ben.
Okay, man. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye.
Okay, now get your friend from Florida. What I was going to mention is when he talks about artificial intelligence, there was a book out recently, and I've been, I went to Contact, the Desert, the big event for UFO. A lot of the books were copied. And I noticed, why would you want to copy someone's book?
Yeah.
And I got research, and I told the organizers, I said, what you're doing is fraud. Because mm-hmm. people write these things, and they should be given credit. You want me to hit? That's a 407. You want me to hit this one?
That's him right there, John Polk.
John Polk? Okay, let me call John Polk. We're going to have John Polk on. He's on.
He's
we got him in. John, and we'll get him in.
You have to hit that.
And then our lady's coming on.
Yes. Go to.
Yeah. Well, it'll ring up, and then we'll put them in. Okay, ready? That. Go.
Where to go? Accept.
Well, let's see if he's. Yeah.
Technology.
No problem. See if he's on. Hello, John?
John?
John, you on the air? Sometimes it's tough. I know it is. Now it's ringing.
All right,
okay.
Now it's ringing.
I'll have you.
Ready? Go.
Hi, is this John
Pope?
Hey,
John?
Hey, this is Rev John. How you doing?
Great, John. How are you doing?
I'll convert with that voice like
oh,
that.
Oh, I know, right?
I'm ready to convert.
Yeah, I'm smashing good. Thank you.
So tell us about. I was telling everyone about your book earlier.
This is Reverend John Polk.
This is Rev John. How you doing?
Do me a favor, John. Turn your radio off in the back. I can hear it coming. It's coming back.
I'm ready to convert.
Yeah, I'm.
There you go.
There you go.
Hey.
Excellent. So I was telling everyone earlier about your books about the blue people. And this is John, one of he's Reverend John Polk. We met him at the conference at Contact in the Desert.
Okay.
And he was one of our first people we met at breakfast. He's amazing. He's wonderful.
Right.
And tell us about your book about the blue people. Please introduce yourself and tell us hear all about it. Come on.
You're on Cameron Sports and Life.
I'm so excited.
All right. Here we go. Buckle up, campers.
Right. Here we go.
So, it's August 28th, 2015 at the Experiencers Speak 4 conference in Portland, Maine. I was asked by Audrey Starborn Hewins, who puts on the conference 5 years running, to be the opening speaker because she knew that I would take a metaphysical, supernatural, spiritual approach to the whole introduction to the whole conference. And that I did. So what does Experiencers Speak imply? It implies that the majority of the attendees and the speakers are experiencers, meaning that bare minimum they've seen a UFO. All the way to the other end of the spectrum, they get abducted all the time like I do. And so what do I do as a international metaphysical minister and spiritual healer, which I am? I decide I'm going to tap into all their energy. So why not conduct a seance to summon the gods? So that's what I did. I had everybody hold hands. We got into a breathing regimen. Breathe in the God consciousness, release lower energy, do that in conjunction with a chimney sweep of our chakras. And then once we cleared the room of all lower energy and surrounded ourselves individually and collectively with the God light, I invited archangels, or actually more accurately, archaliens to join us in our congregation. The ones I invited were Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and my personal favorite, Enoch.
Okay.
And so then I furthered that part of my presentation by saying, ET is in the room with us right now. We just can't see them because they're vibrating at a higher frequency. But I can actually teach people how to raise their vibration to a higher frequency so that they can see into extra dimensional realms that coexist right on top of us simultaneously. And I said, my goal before the end of this conference is somebody who's never achieved contact before will achieve contact for the first time, or somebody that walks in multiple worlds as I do will achieve contact unlike ever before. So the first day expires. The second day, it's almost completely over. Who's the keynote speaker? The world's most famous abductee, Travis Walton.
Oh, yeah, Travis.
Oh, yeah, good old
Travis. Travis.
Travis is related to Jose Escamilla.
Yeah, he's a friend of ours.
They're cousins. Seriously.
Yeah, that's great. One of our regulars.
Yeah, Jose will be coming in next week to give you a. So anyway,
excellent.
So now you're saying that use the angels. What have, you're saying the ETs are coming in the room at the same time?
Yeah, so what happened is we were about to watch Travis Walton's new DVD entitled Travis. And so we dimmed the lights. And right as the lights were dimmed, just before the DVD was about to be played, 4 individuals, not of this earth, 2 with blue skin, walk into the room and they walk up to me. And they say, are you the one that we pay to see Travis? And I'm like, no. It's Audrey. It's Audrey Hewins' conference. Let me go find Audrey. I find her twin sister, Debbie, who in turn finds Audrey. And Audrey gets them together and realizes she can't see their money. The lights are dimmed as we're about to watch the DVD. So she pulls them into the light. And when she pulled them into the light, she noticed that 2 of them had blue skin. One of them was female and one of them was male, and they were holding the money in their hands flat on their palms, kind of like you would hold an open Bible or a hymnal in church.
Wow.
which is kind of peculiar.
Well, and then, like someone who doesn't know how to hold money, holding money out. You like
exactly,
you're
exactly. You holding like, okay, both your palms together and open with cash on top of it. It's kind of strange. Anyway, and they did not have enough money. And they, the two blue ones start arguing about the money. And Audrey calms them down and goes, here, if you just give me four of those, which was not even enough money, I will let you in.
Blue
and
then they go, express. And, I'm just kidding. Blue people
and
express.
Then they go up to Travis. Yeah. They go up to Travis and they pick up his books. They pick up his DVD.
Okay.
And they said, we came here to see you, Travis. And Travis is like, well, how are you enjoying the conference? They said, well, we just got here. A little bit of small talk. And but just prior to that, Audrey takes notice of the two with the blue skin. So she's looking for signs of body art or paint. So she's looking like at their face. We have all these lines in our face, especially the crow's feet. Not that any of us on this panel have crow's feet, but looking at the crow's feet around the eyes for any kind of signs of cracked paint. She can't see it. She starts looking at their hair follicles. Can't see any, you know, bunching of paint in the hair follicles. So she concludes that these two people are not of this earth. They have blue skin. Now, here's something very, very trippy is that after that whole thing, they went and sat down. She blacked out and forgot everything that happened until the next day.
So common in that kind of experience.
Yeah. Yes. And then this is very important as I will use as a disclaimer is that Travis will not talk about this in public at all. However, I did hear from somebody named Jason Quitt, who was a speaker. Uh-huh. He was a speaker at Contact in the Desert. I was talking to him about this whole thing, and he said, well, you know what? It's not totally true. He said he was at a conference like a year or so ago, one of the awareness conferences. I forget which, conscious awareness, something like that.
Oh, the one in
where
Los
somebody
Angeles.
Somebody asked him about the blue being story, and he acknowledged that he heard about it, but didn't say anything further than that. There's a whole lot more to the story. I can keep going if you want me to.
Well, you know, something I want to add to this is there's, you know, all these gods and goddesses over millennia who've been blue. For instance, Krishna. Everyone knows that one of the incarnations of the Hindu Trinity was Krishna. He was Vishnu. Vishnu was blue. Krishna was blue. And always reappeared over the centuries in India. And in the continent of India. And then the interesting thing about these blue people, they always brought truth, they always brought knowledge, they always brought information. And, you know, there's a story about when the last time Krishna was on our planet, that there was during a huge war that devastated the city of Krishna, which they just found about 15, 20 years ago, off the coast of India on the west coast. Half of it's underwater, half of it's above water. And they found that it has this glass where sand was hit such a high heat, they realized that it was a nuclear attack of some kind, that or some kind of laser weapon. Something melted the sand or the dirt, creating this kind of glass around the city. So, you know, you talk about these ancient beings that have been visiting us, and you know, we think of them as archangels and angels, and we think of them as aliens and whatever being you think it is. Is it a god? Is it a goddess? Is it an angel? Is it a saint? You know,
what the heck is it?
What is it? And the fact is that we have new names for everything. You know, one of my favorite teachers, who was Carl Gustav Jung, and he used to talk about that there's these major beings that have always been in our life, and Krishna, like the archangels, have come to teach us in different ways, you know, and give us the right lessons to live our lives the right way. So I think it's amazing that you had this experience. And one of these days I'll share one of my experiences with a family I met once, one of these days. But, yeah, it's fascinating.
You know, it's very interesting. Now tell us, you know who else who I've seen in blue? I've seen Jesus in blue.
Yeah.
Jesus has been in blue.
In India,
when I was in Israel. I went and I fought, you know, in those days, and there was a lion of Judah was always up in the sky, and then Jesus was blue. So Jesus is like put in that category.
You know, there's something special about these blue-skinned people. You know, they've talked about them for a very, very long time, millennia. Yeah. 5,000 years they go back to these people who keep coming back into our lives.
Well, they're needed because of all this craziness that goes on in our lives. Anyway, real quick, I find what you're saying about the blue people is fascinating. I'd like to get you back on the show.
Definitely.
Because we're impacted today with a lot of people.
Oh my God.
We're like the May Company. We got people coming in. People on the sales. So anyway, come back.
I got Joan of Angels coming in. You tell us where we can find your book and where we can find all the stuff.
Yeah, we want to get you back in studio.
So yeah, talk to us.
JohnPolkMedia.com. JohnPolkMedia.com. JohnPolkMedia.com.
I love it. And such a great radio voice.
He does. I know, right? I need to buy a record from him. Anyway, John, I want to thank Mr. John Polk. And John, you'll come back. And we'll range it through.
I'll take care
John
of
Michael,
it.
Michael. And we had a busy day. So we're going to get to the angel.
Joan of Angels. Let's talk to Joan of Angels.
Thanks so much, John, for coming on.
Thank you, John.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. There's a whole lot more to the story I'd like to finish sometime. So
definitely.
Look forward to it.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you then, John.
We'll get you back.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
Hello?
We got Joan of Angels.
How are you, love?
Oh, my God. I've been listening to your show. I'm, like, so excited. I want to talk about angels, extraterrestrials, and more.
I know. Well, let's talk about. We'll start out from now. Joan, I met. Where did I meet Joan? Oh, I met
LA Life Consciousness.
No. I met Joan at this conference in the desert at. God, Joan.
At the Miracle Springs Hotel.
Miracle Springs Hotel. It was at the
Earthshift Conference.
Well, you remember because I run into her at every event. This is why I can't remember which one it was. Earthshift Conference.
You're like me.
I know, but the great thing was I was videotaping for this friend of mine who was doing a show about that conference, and I was her cameraman. So I was all dressed up, and I was not even. No one knew I was a psychic. I told no one who I was. Joan walked up and she clocked me. She said, "Who are you?"
by the way, what I wrote about you, Joan, is I wrote a thing for San Francisco for the Chronicle today. They had our subsequent appearance on the Chronicle.
Oh, yeah, I know. We're going to be in the Chronicle.
Oh, my gosh. I want to hear all about that.
Spiritual teacher, love to all. She gives all of her heart. And she gives all of her love.
Aww,
is that great?
That's so beautiful.
That's wonderful because I started my life, my career in San Francisco, and I really appreciate that very much. So thanks. I'm honored, guys, to be on the show.
Well, we're
and
honored to have you.
Share some wisdom.
Yeah. So anyway, by the way, I met Joan at the L.A. Life Consciousness, another great show in L.A., but we went there, and I'll be soon in Vegas in July. I'm going to be meeting, actually, with a former director of Area 51.
That's right.
Oh, I'm going to be meeting the guy, and I hope you come, Joan.
You know what? Every time you mention it, at first I said I can't go, but I'm listening to you going, you know what? I may be showing up there. I paint angels and extraterrestrials and ships, and I am a contactee, and I do work where I help people. We call in the star beings, so you just might... I just might talk to you about it, Cameron.
Good. We want you there. Absolutely. I'm meeting, by the way, I have a secret meeting with a guy who is dealing with artificial intelligence. Maybe she'll go with me on that
That could
interview.
Be really, really cool.
Yeah, so she'll go because I'm interviewing a lot of people from MUFON that day. So I have about 30 interviews in 3 days. So it'll be fun.
Well, I'm not going with you to that one.
You're not going to
I'm not
that
going,
one.
But I would, but I'm not going to that one. I have stuff to do here.
Yeah, he's.
But
he's
you have a good time. I'll make sure the show and everything's all
That's
prepared
right.
for the next.
And by the way, what we're going to do, we'll get Joan of Angels to go. There's going to be a big seminar in New York. We're going to see if we can go to it. Maybe we have Joan come.
I would love to go.
It's going to be a big seminar in New York.
Well, that would be wonderful. I've just started doing a lot of presentations. Uh-huh. So you guys know, I just did a presentation today at Earthshift. And I've been on some major radio shows, so I really want to get out. And people are hungry for this information, guys, about how they can contact their guides, their angels, and see them. That's what I do is I paint them so people can see them. And that's what's so exciting. They're real.
Well, you know, I've had some amazing experiences with the pieces Joan gave me. when I first met her, she gave me this beautiful, I have a very close relationship with the Blessed Virgin Mary. And she gave me this beautiful Virgin Mary, the Sacred Heart, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and her Blessed Heart. And
right.
I put it in my bedroom, and so it'd stare at me. And within 2 weeks, my husband and
oh
I
my
broke
gosh.
Up because he
former husband,
but he couldn't take the energy okay. in the space anymore okay. because it was too powerful and his energy was too low for it.
Oh. Wow.
Yes, and that's what happens with the art, with the frequency. What I am, guys, is a frequency raiser, resonator. I help raise the energy and the vibration so that the lower frequency leaves. And the art, just like John Michael's talking about, created that resonance. And didn't it something like that happen with the second piece I gave you?
Well, the second piece as well. She gave me a second piece.
At
Contact in the Desert gave me another piece as a gift for a friend who took care of my dogs.
Because
she loves me to death, and I love her to death. We're very good friends. We talk at least once a week on the phone. We try. And we were on the phone doing our thing, and what I did is I went and I gave her this piece of art. And she had a complete emotional breakdown. It made a lot of stuff come up for her about her mother issues. Right. Because all these angels, because it was all about this thing, and it really took her in a whole new direction. She's actually in therapy again, not realizing that she hadn't dealt with in her last therapy session with her mother issues.
Wow.
So her art has a really amazing effect on other people.
Should I should get
I
one?
Know.
Should I get some pieces for my house?
I definitely think you need
oh my God, Cameron, I was trying to waylay you on the way to Contact so you could come. I can take you on a guided tour of the art on Skype.
Okay.
But what happens is that you'll look at a piece and suddenly you'll say to me, because you're so psychic yourself, you'll go, oh my God, Joan, that piece just talked to me. It's talking to me, Joan. It wants to go home with me.
Well,
that's
yeah.
kind of what happens.
Well, it's funny because when I the first time I saw her art, that the Virgin Mary
yeah.
pulled up. And I remember that the friend I was with looked at her artwork and said, oh, I like this piece, I like this piece. But I said, this one's the special one. And Joan looked at me and said, yeah, that one's one of the most special ones that I've ever drawn. It's like I just picked it up immediately. Her artwork speaks. It has a really massive, amazing spiritual experience. When you're working with her art, it really affects you emotionally while
right.
you're working with it. It really is.
I'm telling you,
we have to have you back on the show. We're running
late today.
We're going to
have you back. By the way, we're getting geared for our Dr. Lear show. We're going to have seven people that knew Dr. Lear, including me, who is a patient. And we're going to have a whole thing on Dr. Lear. And I'm putting it together. We've got L.A.
Yes.
He's coming on. Jose Escamilla. And a lot of people
that
knew Dr.
week?
Lear. And it'll be coming soon. Soon All
right.
before the LA
I'll
Talk
update
radio.
You, Cameron, if I'm coming to MUFON. I love being on the show. You can have an angel update anytime. And all you guys out there, joanofangels.com. Blessings,
Excellent.
Miracles
Excellent.
To all of you.
I think we need a Joan of Angels
we
right
need,
here.
Yeah, we got to put one in the room.
In the room with us while we're on the radio. Maybe.
Anyway.
Oh, my God, I love it. Yes,
yeah.
yes.
Anyway, Joan, thank you so
thank
much.
Because
we
have to get off the air.
We actually
so
have
we're gonna,
one last person
we want
to
do. Thank you so much.
Really, really fast.
All right, ciao.
Ciao,
Bye.
Baby. Love
Kisses.
You.
Bye. Bye. Kisses, too.
All right.
Now, getting back, let's introduce our ladies. We got a minute. Go ahead. Tell us about the show. Then we got to move on.
Hi, my name is Sonya Jones. I'm
Yay!
Here with Tough Brown Leather. Yay.
Wow. I'm going to dream of her every day. No,
yeah, he's totally loving this postcard.
I'm loving
he's just looking
I'm
at
like,
the Barbie
you know
and football. And he's like, "What? Okay, what else?
You know what reminds me of? In the 60s, those movies. And you see, what's her name, Graves, all the great actresses. I say,
mm-hmm.
Wow, this is like fun. So now you got to play, and it's going to be coming. What day?
It opens this Sunday, June 4th, is a preview at 12 noon. It will be running until June 24th at the Hollywood Film Hollywood.
French
Festival. I said
yes,
the film
okay.
festival.
I
oh,
said the French Festival.
French,
well,
I
because
love the French
we're going
festival.
To make it a film.
there you go.
No,
by the way,
French
the
festival.
Photograph on this poster is hot.
I'm getting
super
hot every
sexy.
Minute.
Woo!
But anyway, this lady's got a very very nice background. We'll get you. We'll have you back when you let us know. Could be Broadway. You never know.
We would love to see something like that. I love strong women characters. Yes. In that, it's just, it's a beautiful thing.
And Candy, I apologize to your folks there because of the time.
Yeah. They're all mad at me.
Yeah.
They all get mad at me when I walked out there.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we don't have time. Anyway, thank you very much. Good night from Los Angeles.
Thank you, guys.
Anyway, so your play will be... Let me see if I can go.
You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker.